is Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. There you women of his servants, and so fulfilled the law of Christ. I said this morning that if we do not do that, we're breaking the law. It's not a minor law. It's a commandment of God. Who in his right mind would dare challenge the law of God? Bear ye one another's burdens. Then we read from the book of Revelation, chapter 2, and verse 4. Nevertheless, I have trembled against thee, because I have left thy first love. He did not say you loved him. You left it. You walked off him. You abandoned him. I believe that within the church is a permanent way. And then tying into the current events, we read 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7. I want you to notice this first part. That whoso has this world's goods. God knows what you have because he gave it to you. The word of God says God gives you the power to get wealth. But it also says the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. I said it this morning, I don't believe in this pain time. I've even tried an offering. God said you've robbed me in the book of Malachi. You've robbed me in tithing offerings. It's possible that I've robbed in offerings. Continue reading for 1 John 3:7. Let's read it on. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and putteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? I believe what God is saying. You can say you love me, but your actions are speaking louder than your words. Would you lift your hand and ask God to help us here tonight? In the name of Jesus, let me hear you with your voice raised as you pray for me today. Heavenly God. Amen. Amen. Thank you for praying. You may be seated. We answered some of the question of what this first love is. And I tried to make it very clear. There is no way that you can know anything of any love without first love. And the reason is because God is. This is not an emotion. This is not a feeling. This is not karma. This is divine. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. We went over many of these things. But I also said that it is utterly selfless. It is self-abandoning. It is uncalculating. The feeling of true first love is fierce, fiery. Is completely hot, strong, and faithful. We covered one man that in the seven churches in Asia, in the book of Revelation, he started with Ephesus. He winds up in Laodicea. I said, I believe that those churches, though they were actual physical locations that had people in them, I believe that the church is going to go through, I'm talking about the future, in the span of time that God has a church on this earth, that we're going to experience everything that every one of those churches experienced. Otherwise, I cannot preach to you in the book of, on the Laodicea church. That Laodicea church was a real church. But it also is going to mark the end of God's dealing with the church on earth. But he began with Ephesus. And the whole thing with Ephesus was they had not lost that life. They had left it. And that's the reason I declare to you that I believe that God is trying to work all the way back to the beginning, that he may have a glorious church without a trodden rink on a witness or any such thing. I'm going to pick up your tonight with us. I'll quote Brother Walsh quite a bit, but I remember one night in a message, he said, there are three great sins in the Bible. Now I know Sammy said he did too. Three great sins in the Bible. He declared that they were idolatry, adultery, and the oppression of the poor. That man that was here this morning from the Red Cross, he's living in one of the shelters. Most of the people have left and gone. He told Brother Larry and I, the only people that are left are the poor. Are the poor. They are the poor. They have nothing. And he said that Houston is about to dump 600 more over here because of the overflow of their shelter. Jesus said, I was naked, and you didn't clothe me. I was hungry, and you didn't feed me. Lord, they said, when did we see you naked? When did we see you hungry? And he let them know, as much as you do it to me, you've done it unto me. The power of love. The power of love cannot be defined audibly. Mr. West is going to come up with some kind of an idea. It's a word in the English language. But if we're using it tonight, God is love. Can you describe God? Can you define God? God said, I'm taller than the stars. My ways are higher than yours, as the heavens are above the earth, and you can't find them out. It's impossible for us to know God. I personally believe eternity. I believe that we're still going to be learning Christ throughout the ages of eternity. The Word of God says that through Him and by Him does all things exist. Heard a man say one time about salvation. Because God made Abraham a promise, He said, if you can count the stars, or if you can count the grains of sand, you'll be able to count your seed. Heard that man say, I may be a grain of sand, but he said, God lives in me. And then he said this, how can you take something as big as God and put it in something as little as a grain of sand? And something might happen. The wonder of wonders is to know Christ, to be a part of the family of God, to belong to Him, to have Him watch over me, protect me, cover me, defend me, supply. August the 31st, what is today? September 1st. August the 31st was 4 years ago that I had that master stroke. I didn't take their medicine. Maybe I should have. But I am before you tonight as a living miracle. Because He that is bigger than it all got in this grain of sand and worked a divine miracle. God did not promise us that life would be easy. Remember this. David said, I will not give anything to God that did not cost me sin. I preached a message in that year ago. Brother Clinton took that, duplicated it, sent it to friends and whatever. I was honest. I will not give anything to God that does not cost me something. I can tell you, every one of us has a limit as to what we're willing to do for anybody. But God said, as much as you do it under the least of these, you do it to me. When I deny my brother or even my enemy, you shall not be enemy as your brother is your son. And even those that despitefully use you, Jesus said, whatever you do to them, you've done to me. None of us were there in any way to willingly sin against God by any method by the mind, not doing what we should do. I read to you this morning. It almost came out as a lament in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2, verse 2. God said, I remember you in your youth, in your espousals. There was a time, because he's talking about remembrance, not what they are now, not a continuance. We started out well. God said to the Galatians, you started well. What happened to you? God said to Jeremiah, you started well. I believe, as I said this morning, there's a spiritual truth to this, and there's a practical truth. If you see your brother in need, and you come to the bag of compassion, what he's saying is, if you see your brother in need, help him. Right? If you see your brother in need, help him. Now, God knows what our limitations are. It doesn't mean that we can go out and build everybody's house. But when you've given, and when you've responded, I believe that you've done that with is the will of God. Seven churches in the book of Revelation. Every one of them except one, God gives them their accolade, the things that they've done well. I believe it was in Ephesus, where they had tried those that said they were apostles and not. But it's in the book of, it's in the church of Smyrna that I want to talk to you in relation to my message. And the reason is that in that church of Smyrna, Jesus said to them, be faithful unto death. I talked about it this morning in the book of Jeremiah. That is possible. What he's saying is, you went into the wilderness. You were looking for your lover, me. You went into a place where there were no crops. There was the wilderness, barren, no fruit. But you were so in love with me, as you sought me, you went looking for me. In that church of Smyrna, one thing that God said, be faithful unto death. Be faithful unto death. There was a suffering. There was a trial. There was a pressure that was put on them that maybe wasn't on any of the other churches. Jesus said to them all, if you do not repent, I'm going to remove your lampstand. The lampstand is the church. I'm going to remove you as a church if you do not repent. Can you imagine God in his great love saying to the church of Smyrna, you're going to suffer. And some of you are going to suffer to the point of losing your life. When God gave his son, when Jesus went to the cross, when he was suspended between heaven and earth, he's crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Father was so touched by that cry that he turned his back. He turned his back on his own son. Because Jesus could have called legions of angels to help deliver him. Can you imagine? Legions. With the word in his mouth, he could have avoided that cross. But he saw the future. He saw the wisdom. Do you think God just come to know you when you're born, when you're born, or when you got saved? No. He knew you from the beginning. He knew your name from the beginning. No matter how you want to look at it, Jesus came into this world. He wrote his miracle. He healed. He delivered. He saved. He set free. But he came to die. He came to die. I told you before, and I mean it from the depth of my being. I don't look at myself as a brave man. I've laid in bed, even as a child, and thought what I would do if it ever came to the point. Because back in those days, They preach a lot about war and coming wars and these type things, the end of the world. I thought to myself then and that day, I wonder what I would do if they took me, if they threatened me. I don't know about you, but there's nothing I hate more than pain. P-A-I-N, pain. I've seen the sufferings of people. I saw a lady in Baptist Hospital that had cancer, and she was literally trying to climb the wall from pain. I've seen suffering. I've seen these things. I'm not to know what the real sufferings are. And I've wondered if it's, you can live if you will deny. You can live if you will deny Christ, if you'll turn your back. It may be something as simple as just don't say that anymore. In California, it's against the law to preach from your pulpit on against homosexuality. What would they do? If they don't fear God enough that they won't make that kind of a law, they don't have any regard for you. Whether they secrete you back in a jail cell somewhere, or if they torture you or kill you because of breaking the law, then such murder, you are going to be offered to death. And he said, be faithful unto death. Somebody said, how do you do that? That first love. That first love. All other love, if it's true and real, comes out of first love. You've got to have first love. If you don't have first love and you've never experienced that, you don't really understand that it's all inclusive. It covers everything. He said, I have some love against thee because I have spirit of the first one. Jesus told him this morning, be faithful. Somebody help me. Be faithful even unto death. Does Jesus love us? Does Jesus care? Surely. But did he ever give you a promise you would never suffer? Did he ever give you a promise that you would never go through bad experiences? I can remember a lot of promises. When you pass through the waters, they won't overflow. You pass through the fire, it won't burn. I remember when he said, come to me and I'll give you rest. But never, ever did he say, you're not going to suffer. He never said, you're not going to go through tribulation. But he did say, many are the afflictions of the righteous. As a promise. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. I want to throw something in here. If you pay for what you did wrong, you brought it on yourself. Hello? You brought it on yourself. The Word of God says that God does not tempt anyone. It wasn't God. It was your life, your flesh, your carnality, your life. And that includes me. That's the reason sin is so ugly and so wrong. And anybody that thinks just because you say, Jesus, I'm sorry, please forgive me, then he knows you wrong. He does only because of his love. That's the only reason. That's the only way that works. I believe sometimes God, when we talk about, I said this morning, we talk about loving God, but we base that on what we do for him. And we do that out of the things that we're willing. But don't ask about something more than that. Who knows what the root of all evil is? Money. Money is the root of all the evil. That's the reason I've said so many times before. Money to me is numbers. Just a bunch of numbers. Just a bunch of numbers. That's what it is. In this church, money comes in, the right people count it, deposit it, they'll bring it to me, and they bring it to me. The bills and the needs, and I approve them, and they pay. Money comes in, money goes out. There are no games. There's no secret plans. It's just numbers. I always thank God that the right amount of numbers have added up over the years that we can do what we're supposed to do. I said here a couple of weeks ago, when that man from North Carolina, they came down. I met him in the parking lot from the company that happened to be in my office that day, and handed me a check for $1,100,000. Brother Clinton lived up to his testimony. If there's going to be any money in the church, it should be the people's money. And so he's told me 100 times, I wouldn't want to pass the church that Jesus came with a 6-month war and was sitting on money. He took that $1,100,000. Now, I don't know exactly how long it took to get that gone. I don't know, maybe a couple of months. Preaching the gospel, reaching the lost. What we do out of love. That's the driving factor of everything that we do. Because we love. Because we love. We experience difficulties in life. I know people that will go overseas and preach, but when they come home, it's like Don said, they get on my nerves. I'm glad you gave that testimony tonight because you're going on alone with what I have in my life. Let me read you a line of what I have. It depends on what you will put up with in your daily martyrdom in life. Paul said, I live every day. No, he didn't. He said, I die daily in the act of martyrdom. Does somebody get on your nerves? I know I get on people's nerves. They won't come hear me preach. Sometimes you hate to see people walking toward you. You've got to put on that phone and smile and be nice. And that's choking. But you know what? I would rather be nice and smile than to be resentful against you. Suffering your life is first one. Let me ask you something. Are you suffering? Hello? The next question, are you suffering wrongly? You don't do anything to it. Paul said, I piped unto you and you won't dance. Hello? Some folks, you just can't affect them. If you weep, they're not going to weep with you. If you make music, they're not going to dance. And I tell you what, you love the dances and you love the one who can dance. Because Jesus said, love your enemy. Now, I don't believe that necessarily means that they're my enemy, but something between us, there is an enemy. There is an enemy affair. There's no love. There's not even a love. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20 says, for what glory is it when you be buffeted for your fault? And he said, take it, take it. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, and it is acceptable with God. If I'm guilty, I'm suffering from what I did. But if it's just an animosity, and there's been no act and no spirit of dislike or whatever, the Bible says God will accept that. Listen to me. We've got a meeting tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. I know our limitations as much as anybody else. But he said you need to live in this last grace. If you close your mouth in compassion, I say you need to love God to us. God watches when I walk past that man. I remember like it was yesterday. And we were in downtown St. Louis. Two main stores, 6 Baron 4, a
everyone's looking at my name. But there was a boy, Adam, 18 years old, 19, 11 years old, not my name. One of them was a man. There was no one. It was cold. It was a nasty day. It was snow. He said, "Sir, would you like to buy a paper?" He said, "It was priceless, sir. Would you like to buy a paper?" I went to my pocket. I took his paper. I think I gave him $10 for that paper. It doesn't hurt to be kind. Can you hear me? It doesn't hurt to be kind. Let me just put it this way. We go out to eat, and we try to be very generous with our tips. Do you know how much that waitress makes? $2 a night? What did they get a raise? It was $2 the last time I heard. $2.37 a night. $2.13 a night. That's what they get. We try to be generous when we tip. Every time I see the people going to help them, I'm glad to get that tip. I'm glad to get that amount of money so that my daughter, my granddad, my grandson, my son-in-law don't have to put up with that. When we had the bus, and I'm going to close them in, when I had the bus, when we had the bus, of course, stopping at these truck stops to get fuel. I don't want to see all the snow and wait until the water fill that mess up. We've got to go somewhere to fix the mess. Sometimes we would go inside the restaurant and get something to eat. There was a waitress when I paid my money. There were two boys to me that was also paying me, and they were in front of me. And that waitress walked up, and she looked at them. And she laid a nickel where they were paying the lady. She said, "I think you forgot this." They left her 5 cents. A nickel is a tip. That's another story. That's another message. Finally, this cousin used to be a sombrero order cook. And with those eggs, make that toast. He couldn't do anything else. He couldn't do anything else. Neither can most three others. Some are working their way through school or whatever. The point that I'm bringing up to you in the closing time is that this first love is a powerful love. It's a powerful love. You will do through and by first love what you ordinarily would not do. Right? There is a great and fabulous barbecue blessing in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. It's called TJ's Ribs. Have you ever been there? TJ's Ribs. Every time going one way or the other, not so close, we stop at TJ's Ribs. They've got a big Heisman trophy from being cannon on this plate in there. They've got a pair of Shaquille O'Neal shoes. In place, you know, things were going to do that way. My wife and I were in there one day. And they said, "Shaquille O'Neal shot to his left not too long ago." Now, he's a little bit of a man. I just said, "But she was so jealousy because his tip to her was $400. $400. He didn't need it. She did. God's not going to ask you to do anything that he knows it. We're capable of loving God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our spirit, all of our body. Amen? Otherwise, we just say that you see that way, don't close your eyes of compassion. And I am talking. I had a friend that was a missionary in a particular place. And he told me, he said, "Robert, as a missionary in this land," so when we got here, when that same echoes in America, back in this church, in that country, this language, and that belief. And he said, "It's almost like being in heaven."
get done where we are fighting the death if we have to fight. You're glad to have someone that will pray for you, someone that will strengthen you. You may not have the same beliefs, but that comes back that brings you together. Now, he's going to make testimony of how God works to bring people out of a lot of things. I think I've told this once before. But through the school of Christ, in a particular place in South America, there was a man that was running the school. I finally had to write him to long story. But what that man did was the students that were in his school, he dressed them in military fatigue. And then they had drills and marches just like the military does. And he's doing it in the name of the school of Christ. But then I said, that's not who we're fighting. We do not war against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, spiritual darkness and high places. You've got to quit that. But let me tell you, he was one of the most skilled, able men that you had anywhere in the world. A mind that you cannot find, you cannot do. He was brilliant. Able to draw people to themselves, but just the ability to draw people. One time, well, if you bring a two cup, letting them believe that you've got to face the military fatigue. And that's where your back is. I believe they were even carrying something not real weapons. And I said, man, what are you doing down here in South America? That's ready to blow up anyway. And you look, you dress like this, and you act like this. You're going to start a war. These people don't know what you're standing for. No. But not just love. First love. That's what the time is for. First love. First love. First love. God said you've got to love me first. I want you to stand with me.